the journey of the kingdom right now, and we first start off the service with a little glimpse of what the kingdom might look like in Cincinnati. If love was reigning, there would just be things that were happening that were beyond things that had ever been seen before. That's what the kingdom is. It's the overall pervading influence that goes in and out every sector of life, every sector of society. So love is there, God is there, and it's operating the way He's always wanted it to operate and designed it to operate. And one time Jesus describes what the kingdom looks like as a man who goes into a field and starts throwing out seed. And based on how you receive the seed, it dictates how you're going to have a crop in your life. And just like Toad was thinking it was all his effort, sometimes when something good happens in our life, we think it's all our effort. And today we're focusing on it's what God does in us. It's what we can receive from God as opposed to what our effort is. When we've gone over to South Africa last summer and this summer, one of the things we do is plant gardens. And we've learned that if you just plant a seed inside the dirt, those folks over there, many of them have never seen a seed planted and then taken care of until it actually comes and bursts a crop. And so they won't have the faith to take care of the ground when they can't see anything. So we have to spend a little extra money to have a sapling to stick there so something be popping up out of the ground so they can see, oh, there's something there. I ought to take care of that. And then they'll take care of it and they'll groom it and everything will be okay and it'll grow. And this is similar to what the kingdom is like inside of us. God plants seeds inside of us. We receive these seeds, but maybe nothing happens for a long time. And we start to think that God isn't doing anything in our life, but then all of a sudden, bam, something pops above the surface and something lush and beautiful starts to happen. And why did it happen? It's because we receive the seed. In here, I believe that there are seeds that are dormant that are inside of thousands of lives, hundreds of lives inside of this room. There's been something that's been planted in you that hasn't taken plant yet, that hasn't bloomed. And I'm hoping, and I'm going to pray right now, that you receive something from God today that causes something different to happen in your life. God, that's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that every last person here receives. That we receive. That we don't try to make ourselves better today. We try to understand how great you are. And we just receive from you whatever you have for us. And that something starts to pop up inside of us and springs to life in this room and in this city and in this world. And that thing being the kingdom that's going to sprout out of all of us. That's what we're praying for and what I'm praying for today. And it's in your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. All right, why don't you turn to somebody and say hello. And don't forget to turn your clocks forward next weekend. Go ahead and tell that person beside you. Yes, next weekend we get ripped off of an hour of sleep. And who said there's no such thing as conspiracy theories either? Like, I believe that someone's conspiring to hold church attendance down by always making it happen on Sunday morning. Why don't we do it like Wednesday morning? You know what I'm saying? So the clocks go ahead and we all go to work late, you know, instead of coming to church late. You know, I don't get that. Anyway, hey, great having everybody here today. We are right in the middle of this kingdom journey and a lot of cool things are happening. We've been doing experiments that have been happening in and around this place. Some of the experiments I've heard of are people going down and handing out donuts downtown and people getting the donuts and going to the website cincyexperiment.com and not seeing a name of anybody and so saying I'm not going to eat it because I think you're going to poison me. Honestly, those are kind of on the websites. Other stories of people who are engaging and people receiving love, like one group went and they had a relationship with somebody who was in a hard way financially, and they tried to seal up cracks in their home and broken windows to keep their heating bill down, and then actually paid them for their heating bill for a month or two. And then that person decided to come and be a part of a kingdom group. Just really, really cool things are starting to happen in our room right here, in our lives, in our city, and it's really, really fun. And one of the things that we're great at in this church, we are great at giving and doing. It really is. That's one of the hallmark strengths of Crossroads. Great givers and doers. And today, we're going to do exactly the opposite. Our strength as a church, I believe, is going to get in the way of something powerful happening today for you. Because if you're a great doer and giver, you tend to also be a weak receiver. And we're going to see today the kingdom is all about receiving. Just like you receive seeds, it's about receiving. That's where everything starts. It's incredibly important. All right, so we're having a lot of receiving has been happening around here. Let me say this again. Today It's about receiving. There's no like, therefore receive so you can. And there's today about receiving. That's what we're talking about today. And I know that preacher types like me aren't really good at getting people to just receive because normally a catch. There's no catch. That's what we're talking about today is just receiving. I was on the receiving end of one of the kingdom experiments that happened where I and a bunch of other staff members around here had a group that wrote encouragement notes to us. And I've got this encouragement note that's personalized, customized to me, like handwritten long out. And I put it in my journal. I've read that thing a few times. And every time I read it, I receive. It's like I receive love and I just love receiving it. And as I got that encouragement note, I thought about American Idol. That's what I thought about. Who wants to admit to watching American Idol regularly? Okay. Yeah. If you haven't watched it before, it's a pretty interesting show. Here's the three main characters, Randy, Simon and Paula. And this is the way it goes. Someone sings, they do this, you know, singing thing and Randy, the guy on the left, goes first, and he's always sort of middle of the road guy. He's like, yo, dog, you know, it was okay. He's like kind of middle of the road guy. And then Paula goes, and she's always so happy, and she's crying. She's, oh, I love to have your baby. It was so good. Oh, it was so good. Paula's always, she just thinks everything is great and all wonderful, and she's dancing. Then it comes to Simon, and he's saying stuff like, that was horrid, just horrid. I would have listened to a karaoke band. He would have done something like that. But what's interesting is when people receive from Simon, they cry. They cry. When it's negative, they cry. When it's positive, they cry. They hang on every word that he says. And why is that? It's because as they're watching other contestants, they notice that Simon says the exact same thing that they're thinking. So they come to a point where they realize whatever Simon says is the truth. And so when I come to him, whatever Simon says, I know that's the straight stuff. And so they have an emotional reaction when he speaks. And when he encourages, people just get blessed. And it's not because he rarely encourages. It's because they know when he says something, it's always true. If he encouraged six people in a row, everyone would receive it. That's something twisted about us that we feel like positive things have to be conserved. Like, I really can't encourage too much because then that person might get a big head. Or I can't encourage too much or else I might be perceived as a suck up. Or I can't really encourage too much because then sometime I might want to encourage and I might have used up my chips and my words won't be as powerful. That's sick. It's twisted. But that's the way our society operates. We're in a very conservation, scarcity mentality where you have very little, so dole it out. And this is not the way the kingdom works. And maybe the way capitalism works, but it's not the way the kingdom works. Kingdom is about abundance. It's about God giving. It's about God receiving. And God can never be tapped out. He just gives and gives and gives, and so we can receive. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says this, freely you have received, freely give. Freely. Freely you have received. In fact, it's the ongoing sense, continuing. And in the original language, it's ongoing. Freely. You've regularly received. And this is all we're talking about today is receiving. I want all of us to get in a place where we just receive. No strings attached. Three big points. Number one, the kingdom is gotten through God's giving. The kingdom is gotten through God's giving. God is the greatest giver, and therefore we need to be the greatest receivers. 600 times in the New Testament portion of the Bible, giving is talked about in some way, shape, or form. And I'm going to give you a bunch of verses today, and I'm not trying to overwhelm you with them. I'm just trying to let you see that this is a very thick, deep stream that runs throughout the entire Bible, this thing of giving. You can't get away from it. And I'm talking about the thing of giving, God giving to you and you and I receiving. So here's the first few verses for you to chew on. Here's one. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all will be given to you as well. In fact, if you want to really participate, you can just say given whenever you see it up on the screen. Say all these things will be given to you as well. Here's another one. He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. Here's another one. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He's talking to religious people. He's talking to people who are very transactional in nature. They believe that if I do the Ten Commandments, then I'll have this. If I don't do this, then this bad thing will happen. And these people aren't operating in God's economy of love. They think they have to earn everything. And God says, Jesus says, if that's the way you're going to operate, you're not operating according to the kingdom. I will take away from you and I will give it to somebody who will simply receive. Here's another one. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. It's, boy, some of these kids are really liking that, Daniel, aren't you? That's good. Yeah. Given to you. Not the secret will be found. Not the secret will be figured out because you're so smart. Not the secret will be discovered after you buy the DVD that Oprah talks about. No, the secret is given. More on that in just a moment. The secret will be given to you. Here's another one. He said, some of you are really bumming out. Don't be taking down my girl Oprah. Just relax. It's coming a little bit. Okay. Luke 8:10. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Here's another one. But seek his kingdom and these things will be given to you as well. Given. See, it's given. It's over and over. Given, given, given. And what do you do when something is given? You simply receive. You take. You allow it to come into your life. That was a difficulty with that Sermon on the Mount we looked at last week. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are persecuted. And we listen to Jesus' words and we're going, well, if that's what the kingdom is, like, I don't want it. Blessed are those who mourn. Who likes mourning in here? I don't like mourning, you know. See, I don't like mourning at all. Jesus is not saying this is how the transactional economy of the kingdom works. If you're poor, then God does this. If you're mourned, then God does. If that's the way it was, then I would try to be around funerals all day because that means I would get something. I would be blessed if I was mourning. If that's the way it worked, then I would do something to make up people mad all the time so I could get persecuted. Because if it was transactional, then I should try to get persecuted. I should try to be depressed. I should try to be in poverty, and then I get those things. That's sick. That's twisted. That's not what God was saying. God was saying is, even in these extreme situations, when you're persecuted, when you're mourning, when you're down, you're beat down, you can have bliss. You can be blessed. Why? Because you can receive. Because the kingdom transcends the negative circumstances that we're in. See, this is the way capitalism works. Capitalism works, I do this, and therefore I get that. And it works really well to build a strong economy. Physical, financial economy in the nation. But that's a different thing than God's spiritual economy. We kind of translate over what we see with our visible eyes into the spiritual invisible realm and it doesn't work. And so Pop Spirituality says, hey, figure this out and you'll have this. Do this and you'll get that. Get this CD and you'll get that. Get this and you can discover and you could, if you do this, you could do that. It's all what you earn. It's all what you figure out. It's all based on how good you are. That's why reincarnation to so many of us is so positive to think of. It works well with our American economy. What's reincarnation say? It says that I do this, I work really hard, and then I receive a higher life form, next life. Or if I don't do really good, I receive a less higher life form. So I do this and then next life I come back as a gerbil or as a senator. I'm not sure which one's higher either. You know, it's one of the, but based on how I do, I come back and see, it's all transaction. It's all what I am doing. I've earned this and I've earned that. I've gotten this and I've got, it's all, what it's all come down, it comes down to me. It comes down to me controlling my destiny. Me, you know, arranging the environment to work for me, and that's sort of my spirituality. And this is not the way the kingdom works. The kingdom comes through God giving, and if you've never received, you're not in the kingdom. You're not. You might go to heaven when you die, but that's different, as we've learned, from noticing the kingdom, being in it and amongst it, and enjoying the fullness of God right now. The kingdom come now. The kingdom start right now. It's gotten through God's giving. Second thing is God's treasury is limitless. God's treasury is limitless. He has unending resources to give. Romans chapter 4 talks about how God operates, and it's not according to the scarcity transaction economy of our world. Here's what it says in Romans 4. It says, now when a man works or a woman works, his or her wages are not credited to him or her as a gift, but as an obligation. And it goes on and says, God doesn't work by that. And see, here's the way this works. If we think that what we do is going to earn us something else, then we're making God a debtor. Because we're expecting that if he doesn't do this for me, then he's not upholding his end of the bargain. You see, he's not a debtor. God is never obligated. If we think we can do something or believe something, and then God's going to give us something, we're not in the kingdom, because the kingdom is received, it's given, it's not earned. And God is never in debt to anybody. You starting to understand this? It's strange. It's weird. See, let me tell you something about how sick I am. This is just me. I don't know if you're like this. Are you, when you see somebody who has pain and difficulty in their life, do you try to figure out the reason why they have the pain and difficulty? I do. Here's what I do. I find somebody who has cancer, and I want to like find out that they smoke 2 packs a day for the last 2 decades. I want to find that out, because if I find that out, then I can go, "Who? Okay, well, they brought that on themselves." So if I just don't smoke 2 packs a day, then I won't bring that on myself either. Or I find out somebody's getting a divorce, and I want to know like how it broke down. Tell me the spouse abused the person, or tell me this or that. And then I can find a reason. I'll say, oh, well, that's why. So therefore, if I find a reason why it happened with them, then for me, it won't happen with me so long as I don't do that. Or if I find somebody's kids are just totally, you know, off the deep end, I want to find ways in which the parents jacked up their kids and didn't do the right discipline. So I go, oh, well, that's why I didn't do the right discipline. So that's what happened. So I feel better about my, am I the only one like this? You guys like this? Because see, I feel like it's transactions. I want to believe that I can control my world. I want to believe I can control my pain. And if I can always find a reason for there to be pain, then I can think that I can control it so long as I don't do this or that. That's another extension of the transaction way that we view God. God, if I don't smoke, you're never going to give me cancer, right? Or you're never going to allow me to have it. Or if I don't do this, you're never going to. And then we get bitter because stuff happens, because this world doesn't operate the way it should work. God gives, and God's treasury is limitless. He can give and get, and all we need to do is receive. Here's how strange this is in our physical world. What do we do before we go get a teeth cleaning? We clean our teeth, right? You know, it's like, hold on, man. I'm supposed to go and receive a teeth cleaning, but I got to get myself all polished up before I go and get my teeth cleaned. Now, it doesn't make sense. No, you're going to receive a teeth cleaning. Eat Oreos. Make that person earn their money. You know, eat Oreos before you go. They're like, But no, we want to get ourselves all clean before we go get the teeth cleaning. For some of you, I know that you've got somebody you hire to come in and clean your house. And what do you do before the house cleaner comes? You clean your house. You pick up your house. No, why are you trying to get your house ready before the house cleaner comes? Walk through it in muddy cleats before they come, you know? But we feel like we've got to prepare our house before they come. Or we want to get in shape. And so what do we do before we join the gym? We get in shape, because we don't want to go in gym clothes if people see how fat we are. So we want to get in shape before we go to the gym. No. You go to the gym to get in shape. You have somebody come to your house to clean so you can receive a cleaning. You go to the teeth cleaner so they were. How about dishwashers? Hello, what happens before we put something in the dishwasher? We wash it. As opposed to just letting the dishwasher do its deal. And see, this is the way the kingdom works. You don't prepare yourself for God. You don't prepare yourself for God. You don't clean yourself up for God to accept you. You don't earn your way to have a spot in the kingdom. You don't, through effort, earn something God's going to get. No, you simply receive. You go to Him and you receive. You receive love. You put yourself in a place of humility where you receive, where the kingdom can be given to you. What are you doing? Something's given to you? You just receive, or else it wouldn't be a gift. It would be a paycheck. No matter what you've done, no matter where you are, all God wants is to give to you. That's unfair. That's striking. That's not the way it should be. That's not the way we see things. That's beautiful. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. No earning. Just received forgiveness. And that strikes a chord inside of us, because that's a seed of the kingdom that's been planted in you, that starts to resonate, starts to come to life. That's why that's such a beautiful scene. Book of Mark, chapter 10, Jesus said this: even the Son of Man, that's Him, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus says, I've come to give. I've come so you could receive. And receive what? Receive payment. Receive a gift of forgiveness. You know what somebody's worth based on what they're willing to pay for it. You know how much somebody loves based on what they sacrifice. And every time someone sacrifices, there is love. Every time there's love, there's sacrifice. You know, if you love somebody through writing an encouragement note, there's a sacrifice of time. If you love somebody by forgiving a financial debt, there's a sacrifice of what you could have. It shows that you love the person. Jesus is saying, God loves you so much that we've conspired together that I am going to give myself to you. I'm going to stretch myself out on a cross. I'm going to take the hit for you. I'm going to buy you out of this transactional nature, buy you out of trying to earn your way to God, buy you out of all the debts that you've accumulated, buy you out of all the sins that you've amounted on your life. I'm going to ransom you. I'm going to buy you. I'm going to purchase you. And all what you have to do for that? Receive. Receive. Yes, there's this thing that comes later, and we'll talk about that in later weeks, about, you reap what you sow, and a bunch of other stuff. That they're part of the world, too. But I just find that in our world, in this church, we focus on that side of the coin, where the other side of the coin, where it all starts, is receive. It's all we've got to do. Receive. That's all we're asking you to do, is receive. And there is no bartering in God's economy. That's the third big thing I want us to think about today. There's no bartering in God's economy. I think this might be one of the reasons why it's so hard. The more money you have, the more it is to enjoy a great relationship with God. We talked about this last week about, I don't think that God is saying if you have a lot of money, you can't go to heaven when you die. I think what he's saying, as we talked that verse last week, is the more you have, the less you need God, because your money can substitute for things. And therefore it's hard to really connect with him. And the more money you have, the more you've probably mastered the ways of this world. And how do the ways of this world operate? Transactions. Earning. I do this, and then I get that. I don't do this, and I don't do that. I do this, and I get the promotion. I put this, and I get... And so we just naturally, if you become really good at that, and you've earned a lot of money, you naturally transfer that to the spiritual realm, and you enter into transactional arrangement with God, where you just think that if I do this, God will do that, and you're out of God's economy. God does not barter. God doesn't understand that at all. You can't barter with God. All you can do with God is receive from God. There's no such thing as deal or no deal prayers. Deal or no deal. I hate those stories. You know the stories I'm talking about? People who talk about those deal or no deal prayers. They're out drifting in the middle of the ocean, and they're going, oh God, I'm drowned. Please, if you would just send me a helicopter and pick me up, I promise I'll serve naked in Africa the rest of my life. I'll give my life to you if you just rescue me. And then the helicopter came and rescued me. I'm not naked in Africa, but I'm thankful for God's love that he did this. And I hate those stories. Hate. You know why? Because it reinforces the idea of God bartering. God does not barter. Now, he might happen to just cave into a prayer like that because he wants to give, but he doesn't barter. That lowers God. That puts him in a sense of debtor. That puts him in the sense of trying to earn your approval. You understand? Why would God do something to earn your approval? He doesn't have that small of self-esteem. He has to earn your approval by doing something for you. It's crazy. It's nuts. God doesn't operate. He wants us to receive. Well, which will he be? Will he take the car or will he take the missionary? We'll find out after this. No, there's no deal or no deal with God. No bartering with God. Here's a bunch more for you. Look at these. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God so loved you. He wanted to pay a ransom for you. He wanted to pay a price for you. He wanted to show you how much you're worth, that it cost him the greatest thing, his son, himself. He gave him. Not God so loved the world and he agreed that if you would receive him, then he would let you have him. No, he just gave. Here's another one. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Another one. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what's good. Yeah, good comes, eager to do it, but how's it come? It comes the natural outflowing of receiving. That's all we want to do, is receive what God has given. Here's another one. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Here's another. Maybe my favorite. So also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of this world. Why would you be in slavery to the basic principles of this world? It's because if everything you live is a sense of earning, you have to earn love, earn acceptance, earn money, You're in slavery. You're in bondage because you have to do this in order to get that. It's slavery. It's bondage. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, to redeem those who thought that doing the Ten Commandments would force God to treat you nicely. It's bondage, that we might receive the full rights as sons. Now, let me pause here for a minute. Most of the time when I read a verse like this, I'll say sons and daughters. I'll just kind of add that because most every time that's what it means. It's meaning all people. But this time, I have to keep this here, and let me tell you why. In this time period where the Bible is written, it's written in the midst of a culture. And the culture that was written in rewarded, in an extra measure, males, especially firstborn sons of the family. They got a larger inheritance than others, especially other than women. And so God, Paul, or the Apostle Paul is writing this. He's writing here to men and women, and he's saying even to women, you can be a son. Under the rules of how the society operates, you get to receive a lot. God makes us a son, and he says, because you're sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our heart. What do you have to do to receive a Spirit? Receive. He sends it. You don't barter for it. You receive it. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir. There is something to receive because you're an heir. Yeah, why is it in our culture? Well, I know why. But isn't it interesting that when someone gets the money through inheritance, we think less of them? Isn't that true? It's like, slacker. You know, but someone's like, saved, good retirement planning, then it's okay for them to be rich because they earned it. But when it comes to someone just inheriting wealth in our society, that looks as evil and bad. Hey, look, you don't earn any wealth in God's kingdom. You inherit it. You don't earn any love in God's kingdom. You inherit it. It's the way the kingdom operates. It's different. I have a brother who I don't talk about that much because I never talk with him. Somewhat strained relationship, mostly strained just because he just had a hard row he's been down over the last several decades of his life. I spoke with him twice in the last 15 years. Both times he's called me collecting, he's wanted money. Just kind of a different relationship. And I just learned this last week. My parents told me that he was sleeping like where the janitor slept at this hotel to get his, to have his room and board, or his room, and he would kind of clean the pool. And the guy who owned this hotel, owned a bunch of other businesses and everything. And I just got word that this guy died and left my brother everything. Left him everything. So, it's just so funny. It's so good. I can't tell you how great the story is without just going into how difficult my brother is. But the long short, bam, my brother is, I think he's a millionaire. I don't know how much he has, but he did nothing for it. Bam. I heard that my parents were telling me about it and they were all upset and they're all stressed out because he's going to lose this too. And they're all stressed. And I'm like, this is great. He just inherited because I'm in this kingdom mode right now. That's what the kingdom is like. You inherit. He didn't do anything to earn this. He just inherited it. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. That's how God works. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. Why would you be that way, God? But he is. He talks about inheritance. Because I have stuff, and what do you have to do? You have to receive. Just allow it to come. When I first came to know Jesus when I was in high school, God had drummed into me, read your Bible. We got to read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. And I like the Bible. I read the Bible. But let me tell you something. Sometimes reading the Bible for me is slavery. And it's slavery when I think that I have to go to this in order to get that, when I have to go to this in order to appease God. And sometimes I read the Bible and I'm bored. Sometimes I read the Bible and I zone out. Sometimes I read the Bible and something just jumps out. Just like, bam, it's like God just gives me something. Bam, oh gosh, I've read that 10 times before, but wow, I never saw that before. So how I finally got in a better place to read the Bible is if I started reading the Bible thinking it was a duty, think I had to read the Bible to earn, It'll be slavery. That's slavery. But if I go say, hey, I increase my odds to receive. How often do I want to read the Bible? As often as I want to receive. Because maybe I won't. But I have an opportunity to receive when this comes. Mark chapter 10, verse 15 says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. What's the great thing about children? Children, when they're little kids, they don't try to earn. Adults try to drum into them that what they need to earn. That's part of healthy parenting. It has a place. It really does. But children, when you give them a gift, it's like, oh, a gift. Oh, that's great. They kind of, oh, they love in the box. They love in the wrapping. They get this gift. And what they do with the gift, they receive it. And they don't get this gift going, oh, gosh, what am I going to give to them next year? Now I guess I got to do this. Now I got one more person to think about. They don't think those things. They don't think paying back. That's why I don't like this give back. Let's give back crap. I hate when someone says that. Well, let's give back. Well, if you give back, then you've never been given. Being given to, being received, ends right there. Receive. It's like, whoa, I'll keep the chain going, so I'll now give back. No. You want to give, great, but don't give back. It shows like you were given in order so to give back, so therefore you didn't receive. You're in a bartering system where you're in slavery. And Jesus says, hey, unless you're like a kid who just will receive, you're not in the kingdom. You're just not. Unless you've broken through your things you cannot see. Now, we're going to spend the rest of our time, a lot of time, it's going to be very fun, doing a prayer exercise is what we're going to do. And I'm going to try to help us engage to receive from God. See, when I'm walking down the street, I don't walk down the street and all of a sudden, I felt it. I just received. Oh, man. I just received love. That doesn't happen to me. Or if I'm driving the car, it's like I'm driving along. I felt it. Oh, man. I felt the reception. Woo. That's normally not the way it happens for me. I've got to put myself in a posture to receive. I've got to engage. And engaging is different than earning. Earning is tit for tat. But engaging means I've put myself in a posture to engage. So we're going to do a prayer exercise right now. This is going to be very difficult for you. For many of us. I read a psychologist recently who said the average American needs a 2-week vacation before they can hear from God. And the reason he said that is he believes that since we're such an earning mode, we're always answering our email, we're always on the phone, we're always trying to get ahead, we're always trying to respond, we're always trying to meet everyone's needs, our adrenaline is cranking such that we can't slow down and be still and engage to see if God would give to us. And we're going to do that right now. And we're going to meditate and think about a verse that's in the Old Testament portion of the Bible, book of Zephaniah. I had to paperclip it because it's so small. Here's what it says. This is what God says about you. The Lord God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Another translation of the Bible says, he will dance over you with singing. What an image that is. God seeing you and dancing over you and singing songs of celebration just because you're you. Just because he created you. And what do you do in response to that? You just let him sing. You just let him dance. You just receive from him. If you want to do his prayer exercise with me, go ahead and do it. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to use our imaginations. We're going to use our brains. God has given us an imagination. Not to be a silly boy or a silly girl, but to communicate to him. A picture's worth 1,000 words, and I believe that's a primary thing that our imagination is for, is to create pictures that we offer up to God in prayer and to receive pictures from God. I think that just makes the most sense. And so I'm going to pray, and if you want to too, let's walk through an exercise. Maybe we'll receive right now. Maybe something will sprout right now. Okay, when I engage and I really want to receive, I'll oftentimes put my hands on my lap and put my palms up. It's in the universal gimme sign. I start like taking my fingers back and forth. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I need. God, we want to receive right now. If you like to give, we want to receive. You know, and I see right now this picture in my mind that might help you. I see Jesus up on the roof of this room, and he's hacking a hole in the roof, and he's lowering down a video camera pointed right at you. And he's got a closed circuit monitor. It's actually a 42-inch high definition plasma screen. Honestly, that's on the roof, and he's staring at you right now. And he's just overcome with joy. And he starts to dance. And he starts to sing. over you. And there's a heavenly chorus that's right there behind him on the tar paper that's singing back up for him. God, help us receive. Receive. Then I see God, he cuts another hole up there. And he's got this hose he just sticks down in, into this room. And it's attached to this big old machine that's chugging. And it's cranking out love. It's cranking out love. And he's just pumping this, like, love in the room. And I don't know what you see it as, but I see it as a sort of like beautiful mist that's just being pumped in. Or you might see it as something different. And all I want to do is just inhale it. I want it to drop on me, around me. I want to breathe it into my system. I want to receive. And receive. How great is the love of the Father that is given to us? That's what the scripture says. Receive. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Our ushers have all the cash that's already been given today. Also seated some additional cash inside of buckets. And we're going to bring all these buckets down and we're going to repass out wads of cash because we know there's people in here who need to receive. And if you've got a need, we want you to receive. And we want you to reach your hands inside of that stuff and receive love in the form of cash. This is not doing this to help somebody else. This is not at all. This is because you have a need and God wants to bless you and you to receive. Now, if you're like so overwhelmed and you're like really excited about somebody being able to receive more and you want to put more cash in, you can. But that's not what this is for. This is for receiving. It's really that simple. Why don't we stand right now? Ushers, come on down. Let's pass out some love for people who want to receive. And let's sing this together. Let's sing this together and see what God does. God, help us receive right now. Help us to receive. All right, we're gonna keep singing here. But, you know, are there no children in the house? Is there no one who wants to receive? There's a lot of love up here. Is there no one that can humble themselves and just receive? You know, we didn't, I said have a need. I thought some people I hope took out a few $100 because you got a need to meet rent this month. That's awesome. But I didn't mean by that. Only if you were in dire straits were you to take. That's the way this world operates. Well, I receive only if I utterly have to. Well, if you want God, you have to utterly have to. Because you just can do nothing else. And all this up here, this is all love. It's all love that, you know, can be wasted. You know, it really kind of bothers God when there's all kinds of love that's worthless. You know, because love is worthless when it's not received. God wants to be empty. He emptied himself. Jesus emptied himself on a cross. That I empty. I give all. I empty myself. He ground himself up with nails through his wrists, through his feet. Beat Paul. He went through a shredder. Totally spent himself. Why? So you'd receive. So you would receive. He dances over you. We might also add that this is not the extent of our benevolence ministry here at Crossroads. If you got some need, look at that. God's love never ends. Look at that. It just keeps getting replenished. Never ends. There it is. It's the way God's economy works. You got some serious needs that this thing isn't meeting, please contact our office and let us partner with you. Yeah, even from a child. God, thank you. Maybe something broke for us right now. Maybe something just broke and we saw something we hadn't seen, something just sprouted above the surface. Thank you for putting us in position to receive. Okay, as you leave here today, you got one of these. There is more. Anything's coming. You can't run God dry. Endless treasury. You got one of these CDs. Just listen to this this week. I listened to this about 10, 12 times this last week. Engage. Take the time to engage. Plug this in. Just allow yourself to sit. Receive some scriptures and some songs. It's one of your experiments for receiving this weekend. Okay. Bye. Receive. And get out of the parking lot fast. We'll see you. And don't tell anybody what's coming. Don't tell anybody out there. Let them be surprised.